Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Mahan. Dr. Ava is a gifted attorney, researcher, lecturer, and author of 5 books. She received her Juris Doctorate from Georgetown University in Washington, D.C., and is a member of the New York Bar Association. Dr. Ava has been featured in Essence magazine many times and was named by Essence as being one of America's most powerful black women. Join Dr. Ava every Thursday evening on Elevated Places, where you will hear a message that will provide you with the tools needed to repair and uplift the spirit, moral character, and living condition of the black man and woman. Our call-in number is 347-324-5091. Or visit us on our radio show page at blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. And now, here is your host, Dr. Ava Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. Welcome back to Elevated Places, and we are live on blogtalkradio.com. This is your host, Ava Muhammad, and of course we're honored to be streaming live on WKBOL 100.1 FM in Waterloo, Iowa, thanks to Brother Michael Muhammad. And of course, Elevated Places is growing. This is a forum where we engage in open, intelligent discussion on every subject imaginable. The center of our conversation is freedom, justice, and equality, including economic independence and self-determination for the 40-plus million descendants of slaves here in North America. And so call us tonight and join in the discussion, 347-324-5091. That's 347-324-5091. You can also hear me live on the legendary Urban Talk station WVON every Sunday at 4 p.m. Central. That's 1690 a.m. in Chicago. And everyone can download the iHeart app. Download it free on your smartphone or your tablet, and then you can listen to WVON, including my show, wherever you are. And you can also log in, WVON.com, and hear it streaming live. Now, finally, don't forget to follow me on Twitter, and I can take questions on anything you want to ask, and you can submit those questions anytime by going to my Twitter account, Dr. Ava Muhammad, hashtag Ask Dr. Ava. Of course, it is critical, and when we look at what has transpired since the last show, it is critical that we all not only gather, but that we tell everyone we know and everyone we can get a message to make sure that this Sunday, August the 17th, at 10 a.m. Central, 11 Eastern, that you are either on webcast or you are in your seat at Mosque Mariam, the flagship mosque and headquarters of the Nation of Islam here in Chicago, to hear directly from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. This horrific event that took place last week, the murder of yet another young black male at the hands of the police. And as we all know by now, the circumstances continue to deteriorate in these matters. In the time and what must be done, and over the last 60 years, the national representative of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, has laid all this out for us. And it is tragic and sad to see all of these things that were prophesied come to pass, because as a people, we did have the opportunity and the ability to beat prophecy. But sadly, it appears that we are not going to beat prophecy. We are fulfilling prophecy. And so the bloodshed, the tears, the breaking up of families and communities, our children being slaughtered in the streets, our women and girls being shot in the face and raped, and we're being treated, as USA Today article said, a witness told the reporter that young Michael Brown, 18 years old, walking down the street in Ferguson, Missouri, outside of St. Louis, was, quote, shot like an animal. And so we are going to address this tonight. We are expecting to be joined in the program by the international representative of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, Minister Abdul Akbar Muhammad, who is on the ground in Ferguson. Also on the ground and with us is our brilliant and courageous brother, my co-host, Brother Terrence Muhammad. He is right there on the ground in Ferguson right now. And so we're going to be hearing both from him and from Minister Akbar. I've also got MSNBC on the television as I'm talking. I've got newspapers in front of me. But at the end of the day, our assignment is to make sure that everybody we can possibly reach listens to Minister Louis Farrakhan on Sunday. So I want to say assalamu alaikum, and Brother Terrence, we are so thankful to Allah for you and the great work that you do as you are manifesting right at this moment out of Ferguson, Missouri. And we are praying for Allah to keep you safe, as well as Minister Akbar and all of the believers who are in the St. Louis area. So, Brother Terrence, I'm going to turn this mic over to you.
Good evening, Dr. Ava. I do want to first just say I do apologize because I am not on the grounds. I am planning on visiting there. I have been in communication, so I do apologize for my miscommunication. I am still in my hometown, but I will be giving a report about things that are going on there. As you said, our international representative, Brother Akbar, is there, so I do want to make that correction. That was my error, so I do apologize for that. But I do want to say that I did just leave a rally here in North Carolina with a lot of young people and a lot of mix of people, young and old, white and black, that was standing up for Michael Brown, as there are silent vigils going across the country. We've seen pictures of students at Howard University. There's a vigil going on that started at 7 o'clock at Malcolm X Park today in D.C.,
Yes,
so, and there is some things going on with my brother Phil Agnew put out there that eight of his friends earlier today got arrested as they were doing some demonstration. So the Dream Defenders are out there doing a lot of stuff. Our brother Malik Zulu Shabazz of the Black Lawyers for Justice is on the ground, along with our brother Hashim with the New Black Panthers on the ground. Uncle Bobby's from California, uncle of Oscar Grant, came in today, and as we were watching, as we did with Trayvon Martin, social media, especially on last night, took a blitz of if you just hashtag Ferguson, you saw all of the live feeds of the tear gas, the flares,
yes,
everything that was going on Instagram, Twitter. If you just looked at Twitter account, the feeds were coming in at a crazy number all across. As we watched today, them going to the fire station. They were waiting for the police chief, but they took over the fire station in Ferguson, then went to the police station, also going to City Hall. I know there's a national call going on tonight. I was on one last Tuesday night with Reverend Jesse Jackson, Barbara Armwine, Also, the NAACP National Office and the National Urban League strategizing what's next, where do we go from here. Also talking about training our people about their rights and their the different legalities that they have, legal rights that they have to do what they're doing, especially videotaping the incidents that are going on right now. The tear gas got so bad last night that Al Jazeera had to run away from the camera. Some camera crews even got locked up. But I know that there's a lot of things that are going on. Our brother Raheem Devine had already scheduled an event next Tuesday in Washington, D.C. with Roland Martin, but he also had Reverend Yearwood of the Hip Hop Caucus along with Jeff Johnson. They're going to be having a men's panel, but he's going to definitely have this on the issues with a lot of pastors that are in D.C. And it was very also interesting to see that people from Iraq was tweeting to people in Ferguson how to deal with tear gas that was being thrown on them, just to see how social media connected the world on riots across the country. But I do want to remember and remind everybody, as we're watching what's going on in Ferguson, there's countless other situations of police brutality, racial profiling that are popping up across the country.
Sure.
Some are getting a little buzz. A lot of them are not getting national attention. And I mentioned tonight at the rally to the folks there that just because you may not see the Mike Brown in your neighborhood, there are many Mike Browns in many cities across the country. So we got to be vigilant and watching. And also I'll close out so we can get into this discussion that, as you said, you do not want to miss. This is not one of the ordinary where I catch the next lecture, I catch him the next time. You don't want to miss the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. You definitely want to go back and go look and listen to the time and what must be done at NOI.org, and you can already see the words of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan from last year playing out right today. And as we know, he had given guidance to our brother Jay Electronica. Well, Jay Electronica, and I can say it, he put it on his own Facebook page that he is right there at Mas Maryam. He took pictures at Mas Maryam today, so he's there getting ready to be with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Our brother Malik Youssef, a renowned poet and six-time Grammy Award-winning producer, songwriter, worked with many artists, especially Kanye and Good Music. He got the call or the word from Minister Farrakhan to come into Chicago. He's working on an album for us. He's flying in from L.A. to be there Sunday in Chicago. And I'm telling you myself, I don't know, but buddy pass, cartwheels, skateboards, I'm trying to make my way to Chicago to hear the guidance and the instructions coming from the mouth of God's servant, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, this Sunday at Mas Maryam. And that's all I have for today. Right now, Sister Ava.
Well, that's plenty. I want to lay a base for tonight's discussion by just reading the account of Brother Michael Brown's friend, Dorian Johnson. Dorian is 22 years old, and you may have seen him by now. He has been on many news outlets to give his narrative of what took place. He was with Michael from the beginning of this situation. And I just want us to have that as we begin the discussion, because this spun out of control very quickly. As was written, would happen. So I just want to read that to get us started. Dorian Johnson, 22 years old, told KSDK-TV that a white officer shot Brown, quote, like an animal, in the head and chest as the teen put his hands up in the air. He said the incident started around 1:40 p.m. Saturday when the officer pulled up beside the pair as they were walking down the street. quote, he didn't say freeze or halt or anything like we were committing a crime. He said, get the F on the sidewalk. The officer then shoved open the car door, grabbed Brown around the neck, and was pulling him through the window, Johnson said. The second time he said, I'll shoot. A second later, the gun went off and he let go. That is how we were able to run at the same time. Johnson said he ducked behind the car as the officer continued shooting at them, hitting Brown in the back. Quote, his hands immediately went in the air. He turned around to the officer, he recalled. My friend started to tell the officer he was unarmed and stopped shooting him. Before he could get a second sentence out, the officer fired several more shots into his head and chest. And so that's what we're talking about. But all of you know that this happens. Brother Terrence said it exactly right. It is going on every day. And not, in fact, a study that was done calculated at least one black male every 28 hours is murdered in the United States at the hands of a police officer or a security person or a vigilante every 28 hours. That's with more frequency than during the height of lynching during Jim Crow, when they calculated it was once every 3 days.
That's
now
right.
It's just about once a day. And I hear your voice, Dr. Ridgely. I was just about to go to you to start us off, and then we're going to start talking to our callers because they are on this thing, and we're going to air this out tonight. Dr. Ridgely, I just wanted to get an opening comment from you.
Well, you know, it's quite distressing to realize that our young people are at the blunt of a group of animals who, because they are so frustrated in their lives, that they take it out on us. I go back to my analogy of the sheepdog, the sheep, and the evil shepherd. And the evil shepherd is putting more pressure on the middle-class whites. The middle-class whites are upset. They are afraid to deal with power, so they take it out on the powerless, and that is us. If they felt there was some retaliation for doing it to us, then they, like cowards, would back off. But they know that there is no real threat to them by doing us the way they do. So we have got to get out from underneath the sheepdog and the evil shepherd and go towards the real shepherd, which is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and ourselves in unity to stand up against this wild beast who is coming down into hell and wants to take everybody with him. That's all I have to say. We just got to get to our young people, because, you know, a lot of our young people, we make the assumption that, you know, we got the Million Man March after 1995 and everybody knows that. But a lot of young people don't know that. They haven't heard the teachings of Honorable Minister Farrakhan, along with Elijah Muhammad. They have not heard his voice. We have to figure out a way to get Minister Farrakhan's voice and the teachings to our young people so they can make a true judgment as to the direction they want to go.
But to your point, Michael Brown wasn't even born.
Right.
At the time of the Million Man March. So
that's
the
right.
Very generation that is at the height of the hatred, or coming within the crosshairs of the hatred of this beast, that generation, for the most part, were not born even at
right.
the point of the Million Man March, which will be 20 years ago next year. And so you're
right.
you're exactly right. And look, we got to walk with a whole lot of weight for this. And that's why I opened up with the reality that we could have beat prophecy, as the
right.
Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Honorable Minister Farrakhan have said, but we're not beating prophecy. Sadly, we're fulfilling prophecy. And as the
right.
Honorable Elijah Muhammad finally told us after begging and pleading with us to separate ourselves from our natural enemy and tormentor, we not only refuse to do that, we have spent every day since the 60s seeking to assimilate as much as possible
right.
into his dying world. And so
that's
what
right.
else could there be for us but death? And so now our innocent children are, as you said, taking the brunt. So we're gonna get moving with Sister Angelina. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Angelita, I'm sorry. You are calling us from California?
Yes, ma'am, from Los Angeles.
All right. Yes, ma'am.
Wa alaikum. Yes, ma'am. Sister Ava, may I please read a short verse from the Holy Quran?
Of course.
Okay, yes, ma'am. And I would encourage all of you to go and read Surah 4, Section 14, verses 97 through 100. I'm only going to read 97, but please read the entire section of Surah 4. Again, that's Section 14, and it's titled, Muslims Who Remained with the Enemy. As for those whom the angels caused to die while they are unjust to themselves, the angels will say, what were you doing? They will say, we were weak in the earth. They will say, was not Allah's earth spacious so that you could have migrated therein? So these it is whose refuge is hell, and it is an evil resort. And hell is exactly what we see because we refuse to follow the direction of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad to separate. And I'd like to mention that from James Brown's, from the movie Get On Up, James Brown's character said, if I meet with the Nation of Islam, you'll call me a separatist. And I don't know if you all saw that movie, but that
we
was
did.
Mentioned.
Yes, ma'am.
Praise be to Allah.
First
Isn't
day
that something
came
that
out.
That was mentioned twice in the movie?
That's right.
I don't
that's
think
right.
that's a coincidence.
So
I'll
I don't
hear
either.
Your thoughts on that.
I thank you for that, for right. that word directly from the Lord of the Worlds to open up.
Right.
And then, you know, I know you saw it, Dr. Rizzi, because we've talked about it, and there were several references to who this white man is, and we
yes.
talked about why and how it made it to the screen. And the point is that one of the things that the first thing that struck me as I shared with you is that when we were in segregation,
come on,
we knew who the enemy was.
That's right.
Little Richard, when James Brown met Little Richard, that's the first
right.
thing Little Richard told him, was the devil was going to come after him when he started to succeed.
Right.
And he said, and I don't mean a red cape and a pitchfork. Okay?
Right.
You know, and so it occurred throughout the film, and as with everything we see and hear, we see and hear the truth of who these people are every day. And now we're in the throes of hell because Allah said, because you have rejected knowledge, I will reject you.
Mm.
So we're going to go to Brother Michael, who's calling from the 225 area code. Brother Michael,
Hello.
You are live on Elevated Places. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. How are you, sister?
I'm doing well by Allah's grace, sir. Thank you.
I'm very angry. I'm calling from Baton Rouge, and I want all them brothers and sisters know up there. We don't like it either. But I'm going to tell you, what really disturbs me the most here is that, you know, the sheep is used to lead the goat is used to lead the sheep to the slaughterhouse.
Uh-oh.
And all of the intellect amongst our people, whether it be teachers of the gospel, our leaders, see, all of those are silent now. And then, see, when Trevon got killed, it was a little thing because you could cry racism or say racism if the Mexicans are against the black. But none of them want to open their mouth about government. The only sad thing, the real sad thing here, is too many jobs. It's too much money moving. The rain is coming and the sun is shining. See, Allah needs to drop his wrath on us. That way we won't have nothing else to do but to rise up and stand up for our young people. And I don't know what it's like up there, but I know here in Louisiana, the intellect of my race here is feeding young people to these people. We look at it and we say it's a sad thing, but when they look at it, they go back to their jobs, rubbing their hands together, telling the government, give us a little bit more money because we can run this kind of program, we can run that kind of program. So in between us and the devil, in us being free, I think our own people is standing in the way. That Tom, that one that act like he's better because that white boy chose him, you see? But you see, when Martin Luther King when Martin Luther King went away from us, it was those Negroes out of that church house who made that deal to take care of 26% and broke up the black family by putting a black woman in a situation where if she gonna get any help from the government, she had to deny the man. And now that same 26% is now palms is being greased. That's why they're all silent. They scared to death to say racism, but they better be warned. And know that when you see these young people walking around with their pants hanging down off their tail, they're not saying nothing derogatory or to that devil because most of them just don't know. But they tell it to the elder of us, we don't want to be Toms like y'all, and we don't want to act like y'all and do like y'all, and they see us selling them out. Thank you, sir. I hope I didn't say too much, because there's no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. And even in this state now, you drop a cigarette butt out the window, you have broke the law. This state can't afford the DNA test that. But what they want is probable cause. Probable cause to interact with us. You see what I'm saying? To act like that. So my thing here, you know, Moses laid out a law. An eye for an eye, two for a two. I think we need to fall in line and find a righteous man got it. Because when Moses come back and called Pharaoh, melt him down silver and gold, the masses of the people didn't need deliverance from silver and gold. But it was that handful that went around from the money from the government to miseducate and medicate and incarcerate us. It's our people who helping this cracker.
Thank you, Brother Michael.
No,
don't apologize, because let me read something from The Time and What Must Be Done. The sale of indulgences. And then this is Minister Farrakhan, The Time and What Must Be Done. The wickedness of our slave masters and their children has been such on us that they have made us unto themselves, so that our wickedness is equal to theirs. So when we say they have been devils, you say, because he's talking to that same group that Brother Michael just identified. When we say, meaning the Nation of Islam, okay, say they're devils, you say, what about us? Because the killing of us that is going on in the neighborhood today, it is by us against us. It is black-on-black crime, black-on-black violence, black-on-black death. We have become as evil as to ourselves as the former slave master and their children have been and still are. This is why the scripture teaches God is coming after the workings of Satan. We are the product of Satan's work because he has turned the black man out. He has made us unto himself. All types of unrighteousness are practiced by him, and he has allowed us into his social equality, which he kept us out of for years, because he was afraid that when we learned the filth of their doings in their private parties and dwellings, we would run them from among us. But we're not running them from among us, because we have become the same. They have integrated us into their bedrooms, not necessarily the boardroom. And although some of us are on their boards, we're just spooks that sit by the door. We're not the ones that create the policies, but we say yay when they say yay. And we are afraid in those boardrooms to speak up and say no, because we have to go along to get along in order to stay on the board. And so that is what Brother Michael is talking about, the sellouts. And he's feeling what I'm feeling, because when I hear people on television and radio who are black, so-called black people, scared to death to even say racism.
That's right.
And continually bringing up this ridiculous, irrational, stupid argument about training, that the police need to be trained. They're already trained.
Come on.
To do exactly what they are doing, and they're acting in accord with their nature. And to hear one of them say this evening on his television show that the police are looking like the military. Well, the minister taught us on that. They don't look
That's right.
like the military, brother. They are the military.
That's right.
That's right.
When 100 black people came out, they brought out 432 mine-resistant trucks that they used in Iraq and Afghanistan. Tear gas is a chemical weapon that was banned under the Geneva Convention. And black people are being tear gassed in their own yards. So these same people that are always yelling out, no justice, no peace, if you keep saying and marching, no justice, no peace, then why is it when there is no justice, you tell us to be quiet and be calm? My son's head is blown off. His chest is blown open. I can't even get an autopsy report. And you're telling us that we should be calm. I don't think so. I don't think so.
Well, you know,
go ahead, brother. Yes, sir.
The portion that you read just now from the minister, from the time of what must be done, you know, see, that's something that all of our young people need to hear. He laid it all out right there. But how do we get him to them? This is, should be our major task in all of this.
Right.
How can we get that which the minister has already taught, has already taught us, to this next generation? Because the older generation act like they ain't heard it when they did.
Well, you're exactly right. Brother Minister Abdul Akbar Muhammad, the international representative of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, who has been on the ground all week right there in Ferguson, is now joining us on the line. Brother Minister Akbar, thank you so much. I know you're just completely engaged, but thank you for taking time to share with us your insight and what's going on there.
Thank you very much, Sister Ava. I really appreciate you inviting me on the show. And I'm sorry that I'm a little late coming on. I'm at the St. Mark's Family Church. We have about 1,200 people here. The night was youth night, and I could not miss it because my son was one of the youth speakers, Jihad, who's 17.
Oh, praise be to Allah.
18. He'll be 18 next month, and he let it off. But they have a tremendous crowd in here. And I just want to say this to I should use the word bear witness to what you were just saying. The young people had to find a way to react. They couldn't see the brother killed, Michael Brown, in the street and say, let me call my lawyer, let me call Human Rights or the ACL, let us go to the courthouse. They reacted in the only way that they knew how to react, with their anger and their pain. And they see this happening over and over again. I was in Los Angeles, and when I turned on my television, quite naturally, Ferguson, and they keep using Ferguson, it's St. Louis County. It's 10 minutes from the airport when you land in St. Louis. And but they are trying to take the jacket off St. Louis, but it is St. Louis. St. Louis has 93 municipalities around the city, and the St. Louis city is a part of the greater St. Louis County. But when I looked at it on television, it talked about a black man tussling, trying to take a policeman's gun, and he was shot. Now, that was the spin they put on it, and they kept that spin going. And so when you look at it, most Americans, especially white Americans, see another one of those black thugs trying to take a policeman's gun. He's shot, he's killed, and 2 weeks it's out of the paper and really forgotten about. The pain of the family goes on. But there was another story here. And when the people saw the spin of the story who witnessed this brutal murder of this young brother, it upset them. If you hear the background, they're still cheering. They are cheering in the church. And let me say this. So the black youth reacted. I was in a church, and they were condemning, some of the leaders there were condemning the youth, talking about looting and breaking into stores and taking the attention off the brutal murder of this brother. And I said, no, this is not right. I said, and so I would never give anybody a note to have them to have me something to say. That's just not my training as a minister of the Nation of Islam. But I gave the pastor a note, and he looked around at everybody and looked at me. He never called me forward. But as God would have it, one of the mayors of the local area got up and said, look, don't take your mind and let your mind go to something else and take the people away from the real issue here. The real issue is that a policeman shot a young man down in cold blood, and not with just one bullet, but they're trying to determine how many bullets were put in him. And yesterday when I met with the father said, we haven't seen our son's body. They'd never let, they held it for 5 days. We didn't go and, you know, somebody come to verify that this is my son and so forth. We have never seen the body. So they have to now have an independent autopsy. And when they were wrestling with it, the lawyer and the father and the mother, they picked up the phone and reached out to Minister Farrakhan, which I think was a blessing. And to show you the statue of the minister in the minds of people who are trying to guide people, they wanted the minister to give them some advice, because this is an uncharted road. This is not a road that everybody knows exactly what to do. We know how to organize it. And then the president of the NAACP, the new young brother who's the president, he came in and he did the best, but this is an uncharted road for him. And to play to the media and what the establishment wanted, when I say the establishment in this city, it's the white folks. They are the establishment. And to try to play to them and play to the press and say the kind of things that they want to hear and make them put you on television and make it appear as if we're trying to calm down these rowdy black youth, no, that's not the way to go at all. So we have been organizing. And I must say that Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is no longer the chairman of the Black Panther Party, but he is in charge of the lawyer, Black Lawyers for Justice, he did a commendable job today. He stuck to his point. You know, he's always challenged to teach a little, but he did a cease and desist, and he delivered it to the police chief as well as the mayor. And at that time, the governor came in, and the government chided the city of Ferguson of how they handled it, and he put the state troopers in charge, and found a black man who's in charge of the state troopers and this operation. Now, I'm only saying that to say that these brothers, the police force in Ferguson is 63 or 53. But it's only three blacks on the whole police force.
Yes, unbelievable.
53, and the city is 67% black. And these white policemen are insensitive. They look at us, as one of them was saying on television the other night, calling us animals. It's how they look at us and perceive us. So to shoot one of us down and then cover it up as self-defense, it's what they do.
Right.
But St. Louis now, the focal point of the world. During the Civil Rights March, during the 60s, America, especially when John F. Kennedy was the president, America was being shamed before the world, because the media recorded those dogs and the brutality of the South and the white picket signs calling us everything you could think of. But it went out the world, and America was shamed. And sometimes you have to shame America to make her do the right thing. They don't do it out of the heart and the mind and the compassion, right, suffering of black people. They do it because you shame them before the world. I told them the day in front of the press when I was speaking, I said, we didn't ask for this. We didn't do this. This is what you did. And now that the act is coming and it's going out throughout the world, you're hurt and embarrassed. What they did last night with those tear gas canisters, the armed trucks, the snipers on the roof, what they did was just uncalled for. And then... So the mistake they made, because the policemen were not sophisticated enough how to handle the press, it was really like on their side. And when they told the press, arrested two of them, threw a canister on Al Jazeera, then the press now today has turned against them, and the governor had to come in, pull the police department out, put the highway patrol, I can't think of their profession, they put them in charge, and then find a black man who would be in charge of the whole operation. And I'm just showing you how this pendulum is swinging. And when this young man's burial and funeral, it will bring thousands of people into St. Louis so that we can say no more to this across the country, this police brutality, shooting, beating, and killing our people in every city across this country. So I just wanted to give a report. The editor of the Final Call will be in the morning to give a complete coverage. And I love the statement that Reverend Jesse Jackson made, because he didn't let them bull bait him into talking about looters. He talked about what we are suffering from as a people. And when people suffer this much, there has to be an out. I mean, I cannot wait to hear from Minister Farrakhan on Sunday.
Oh, my God.
Spread it
in
all of the crowds here. The minister, in his conversation with me this morning, said that he will address it directly. And the family, and it just shows you, the family wanted to reach out and get words of comfort and direction from our leader, Minister Farrakhan. The lawyer wanted that, and the minister spoke to him. And believe me, when they hit the podium last night, their conversation was changed. Al Sharpton did an excellent job. People can critique him and criticize him, but he got on that podium last night. He spoke to the crowd, and then at the end, he said, I want some DJs, Deacons for Justice. I need 100 black men. And then he turned, and he said that Minister Akbar Muhammad, Zaki Baruti, Shaheed Muslim, Pastor Pearson, I want you to help me to organize these young men to go out in the street and let them be beacons, disciples for justice. And he said to work with the young people. These are our babies. We cannot be afraid of them. We cannot condemn them. We cannot run from them. They're our baby, and we got to go and talk to them. And because of these young brothers, the whole system has changed. A black man is in charge of state troopers.
he would have never gotten that job if the brothers had not stood up and wanted to demonstrate and march through the street to show their disgust at these brutal murders of young black men, not only in Ferguson, but throughout America. So, Sister Ava, I want to ask you, as your brother, in the most humble manner, for me to get back into the auditorium.
This rally
is going on. It's packed with young people. But I'm honored to be on your show, Sister Ava, and you're talking to the whole country.
We're honored
to have you. Inshallah, I hope to see you on Sunday. I'm going to go up and meet with the minister on Saturday. And inshallah, I hope to be with him, God willing, on Sunday. But I thank you. I know this is a radio show. Sister
yes,
Ava,
sir.
I know it should be interaction. I know it shouldn't be one way, but I'm asking you to forgive your brother and let him go back and join this rally.
Oh, no, absolutely. You're on the job. You're out there in the field at the core.
That's right.
All of us thank you for taking time.
That's right.
You really enlightened us in more ways than you can imagine.
That's right.
We thank Allah for you and your
thank
family.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you. May Allah bless you and keep going.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
All right, beloved.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, and Dr. Ava, he has been everywhere, every picture that I can find, you know, Malik Zudu Shabazz and those others on the ground. You see Brother Akbar right in the midst, right in the thick of things with our people at the press conferences. Yeah, so today I got a beautiful picture with the MGT and the Vanguard around him, the mighty, mighty FOI in the community. There was a video that went viral, and the community said, oh, let the brothers through. They had a mighty FOI lined up in ranks, and it was coming through to aid and support, and the people just, moved away. But I do want to say that the piece about what Brother Akbar is saying is the young people, who can get the young people organized is the one that's going to have power, and that's why it's so key to hear this message from Minister Farrakhan this weekend. So key, because what he's going to lay out in a strategy and a plan and just bringing the hip-hop community into Chicago is going to be a beautiful day.
Yes, sir. Well, profound, I guess, final display from Allah of mercy and grace. That's really what it's going to be. Because again, we're not in the era of prophecy is over. We're living in the fullness of time, and everything is now unveiling itself. So we're going to hear from the callers now, and we've got tons of them lined up. But that was so insightful and
yes.
brilliant,
mm-hmm.
what we just got from
That's
Brother
right.
Akbar. So, Brother Terrence, you had mentioned a hip-hop summit. Reverend Yearwood is on the line.
Hip-hop caucus.
Hip-hop caucus, okay. So we've got Reverend Yearwood. Reverend Lennox Yearwood calling in. Assalamu alaikum, Reverend Yearwood. Look at you,
Islam, my sister. My
yes,
sister Ava,
sir.
How are you?
I am as good as can be expected. You know, this is terrific,
yeah, you know,
I'm so glad we're together as a people.
Yes,
sir.
You know, and that's, I think, you know, this is what we've seen, regarding what happened to Michael. It hasn't even been a week yet, and what we've already seen is a paradigm shift. You know, I just came from a rally up here in Washington, D.C. at Malcolm X Park, and there were literally probably about 2,000 people in that park, and it was grassroots. I mean, I think they had one bullhorn, and, you know, you have 2,000 people, you know, you can't really hear that, but they was eager to be engaged. And I think that's the next step. There is a shifting amongst the hip-hop generation that they don't want to keep marching unless they're marching for a reason. They really need some meat, as they say, on the bone. There is definitely a lot of discussion that, particularly young people, are a little bit overwhelmed almost by the death they're seeing from Eric Garner, Jordan Davis, Trayvon Martin, Oscar Grant, Sean Bell, and even just 12 years ago, Amadou Diallo. And within that time, they have grown up literally seeing young black men being publicly executed.
That's right.
So I think that, you know, our job now is really, you know, we have to make sure that, you know, demonstration without legislation leads to frustration. And so we have to make sure that we're shaping policy. So policy in regards to holding these police officers accountable, policy in regards to, you know, making sure the Pentagon stops giving these tanks and militarizing our police department. Policy in regards to the ratio of how many police officers are, you know, in regards to the city, you know, that you can't have a department that has 90% white and, you know, less than 10% black over a community that is 60-70% black. That is outrageous.
It's unbelievable.
There's a lot of policy issues, and I think also the great thing that we've seen with Eric Garner and Michael Brown and Trayvon Martin and Jordan Davis, what we've seen is that social media is no longer about technology, but about sociology and about us using that. That has almost become an organization in itself. People now, I guess, are going to Twitter Inc. and Instagram and Facebook to really communicate. So there's been a shift. So also I've just been so excited to hear, you know, Brother Terrence has been talking about, you know, what's happening this weekend in Chicago with Minister Farrakhan. And I'm excited about that because, you know, I was telling Brother Terrence earlier, I'm around all, I have access, part of me in my job being the president of the Hip Hop Caucus, I'm around all the leaders, so to speak, you know, and these conversations. And, you know, there is sometimes not the clarity that we need to have. And I am a little disappointed at how reactionary sometimes the organizations can be and also how they sometimes can suffocate the new voices that we need to have as leadership. They want to get their voice out there. We're missing new voices. So I'm just so excited, to be honest, for me as a black leader, to really see what Mr. Farrakhan is doing. That blesses me because, you know, there has to be an element in which we have to use the culture to engage the community. We have to have a point where we have to be able to mobilize in the suites and the streets, but the people at the core. In other words, if Michael Brown had not been killed and been assassinated, if Trayvon Martin hadn't been killed, if Jordan Davis hadn't been killed, if Sean Bell or Oscar Grant hadn't been killed, they would still be a part of the hip-hop generation. And we have to make sure that we are embracing and loving our brothers and sisters. And I think there is some disconnect with that community. So I just want to say, Sister Ava, you know, I know this is one of these times where you have to call in, and, you know, I love what you do because, you know, he who controls the media controls the masses, and they, the media have to make the innocent guilty and the guilty innocent. So I just want to take a little time to call into your show and tell you I appreciate you and all of the things you have been doing and how you continue to just bring this message to the people in a very articulate, very precise way. And so just keep on doing what you're doing. It's so important.
Well, you as well, Reverend Yearwood, and you as Brother Akbar ahead of you, and that's all Allah God's work. You all are bringing such incredible insight, and you're bringing it in a manner that we can come away from this forum tonight even more enlightened than we may have been, because you said something earlier how quickly there was a paradigm shift in all of this. And, of course, Minister Farrakhan had already scheduled himself to address us and the world this Sunday before this took place. And so I thank God, because he's not, as we all know, he doesn't speak as frequently as he once did, and why should he? But it's critical that we get that direct guidance. But it is just wonderful to have a brother as valuable as yourself come on and take time. So thank you so much.
No, thank you. Thank you. So, and what you just said there is so, and I'll say this, you know, it's, I listened to the end part of the Akbar, and definitely I'm so happy to see what he's been doing on the ground, and that's just been a good thing that they leaped in a community. I'll say this too: the community, the reason why this has been so powerful is because the community moved to action, and I think a lot of times the organizations come in and dilute the effectiveness and the power of the people because they are afraid of losing their grants. They're afraid of losing, you know, their positions. And I think they forget that this is a very temporary time that we have to do what we need to do to fight for our brothers and sisters and to fight against injustice. And so I think that, to me, you know, you mentioned that it's very important. There's a spiritual piece to this, and I think that clearly, you know, Mr. Farrakhan is tapped into that. But even more so, I think that we have to make sure that a month from now, that we are still, when the cameras go and there's been quote-unquote concessions, name of the officer has been given, somebody has resigned, charters have been brought, we cannot stop. And I think that's the one thing that we have to make sure that not only that is Ferguson or Missouri or this country, that black people will not be the path of least resistance. And you will not be able to kill our people with impunity and create public executions in the streets in broad daylight. And so I just, again, Sister Ava, thank you so much for having this forum for us to come together where we can talk how we need to talk. Because, you know, sometimes, you know, you can't talk how you need to talk. So I bless you.
Yes.
Thank you for having this forum.
That's
so
what
we
this
can,
is about. Yeah, that's right. So we can be free to speak absolutely fully. And because it's not always fear, especially people like you and Minister Akbar and those of us on this line, but we know we always have to tread carefully because we'll lose our own people, you know, in their fear. So we have to have some place we can go and not have to have a worry in the world. So may Allah continue to bless you, beloved. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you so much. Take care now.
Yes, now I'm going to go to Sister Nisi because she has been holding for a very long time. I'm trying to see if we can extend the program by 30 minutes, and we will if we can. If not, we're gonna try to get to as many callers as possible. This is so informative this evening. Sister Nisi, assalamu alaikum. You're live.
Wa alaikum salam, Dr. Ava, Dr. Ridgely, Dr. Terrence. can you hear me?
Yes, yes. Ma'am.
Okay.
Good.
Make sure I'm off mute because, you know, I'm shaking when I'm talking on your show. You were watching the news channel MSNBC. I feel like I'm calling into the real MSNBC and all that junk.
Amen.
You know.
Amen.
Yeah. So I'm but what came on my heart is you know, in on page 94 of Our Savior Has Arrived, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad tells us that integration is going to be our doom. And when you were speaking on the account of the young man that was with Brother Brown and then how they have not released the body, it's a testament to the order, to the instruction that we were given from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad through Master Farrar Muhammad. It's a testament of that, because in a town of majority blacks being run and ruled by the Caucasian, we can't even have our dead.
Come on, look at it. Teach.
So
think on that.
Think on, I mean, just, you know, think on, I mean, the larger picture is a mother, a black mother, she can't have her child. You can't. That's unheard. That's unheard of. They haven't seen. They haven't been able to see the child. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
Oh my God, that was so critical for Brother Akbar to come on. I've also zeroed in on the autopsy report because you know the lawyer in me, as well as the nation,
right.
and being a black woman, I am just beside myself. I'm about to take a hostage. I'm so upset over this autopsy report. What?
I just want to
hear that the child's body.
Yeah.
Has
Come
not
on.
Even
how,
been
how many days
we,
is this?
We saw it with Trayvon. We were already incensed enough over that. This, but we knew it would. The minister told us this would escalate because this is all headed to the ultimate war, and it's unavoidable. And everybody that is called has alluded to the in-house enemy trying to get funding on a diminishing dollar bill. It is utterly amazing. And as the minister said, as I read from his words, we're in the bedroom. And even if we're in the boardroom, we're in there as a spook sitting by the door, scared to death. And all the way up to President Obama, which somebody pointed out because they played three quick clips tonight from his commentary on the Henry Louis Gate issue, the Trayvon case, and now today when he addressed the Michael Brown murder, he has grown weaker as he has stayed in office because the minister said you become like that which you submit to. And so he has taken on the same type of language that the enemy uses when it comes to us. Very generic, very distant. He comes out in the press conference and begins with Iraq, which is not our business.
Right.
Whatever is going on over there, that is a sovereign nation that we just supposedly left. So you open up talking about some people on top of a mountain who can't get food and water. And Sister Rona texted me, the people in Toledo, Ohio right now can't get any water. They're lined up trying to get water. There's no drinkable water in Toledo, Ohio. So black people are being crushed. The U.S. military is moving on citizens, supposed citizens of the United States in an American city, training weapons on them, shooting rubber bullets at them, armed with the identical weaponry and equipment that the soldiers have in Afghanistan and Iraq. And as Brother Akbar said, it's not, they're using Ferguson to protect St. Louis from its wicked reputation.
That's right.
Because St. Louis is at the core of a whole lot of dastardly crap that has been done to black people from the beginning of our history here. So
that's
thank you, sister, for that point.
Yes, ma'am.
And Sister Ava, you just threw in something that was so powerful about this whole issue of water. I forgot to mention, just as we know, they cut off the water. Detroit, the other day got enough water back because that whole city was flooding the other day. So, you know, what you said at St. Louis at the... Yeah, and I think a lot will show it again what's going on in St. Louis, and a lot will reveal after the minister speaks. We have seen and has been proven after he speaks, not days, not months, sometimes hours, and actually sometimes during his lecture, as we know, the flood in Mississippi, his words are not ever mocked, and you bear witness to what he says after he speaks.
That's right. That's right. It doesn't take him long. We got Sister Pamela, Attorney Pamela, Is that Attorney Pamela? Assalamu alaikum. Sister Pamela?
Yes, ma'am. Assalamu alaikum,
oh.
Sister A.
Walaikum salam.
Dr. Ridley,
you're in St. Louis, aren't you?
But Terrence, you know what, Sister Ava, I'm not in St. Louis. I am in Houston. But
okay,
I
yes,
was
ma'am.
Born and raised in St. Louis, Missouri. And
yes,
I was practicing law there for the last 2 years ago. And I've been in Houston for 2 years. So when you talk about dastardly crap, you know, St. Louis is at the core of this issue. Because, first of all, this little Ferguson city that they're really deceptively trying to push out there, that's St. Louis. And it's really, as Akbar said, you got 93 municipalities around that city, and all of them operate like Ferguson. You got Hazelwood, you got Jennings, you got all these ones, and they have the same MO. You know, so to throw Ferguson out there because, yes, that cop did execute our little brother, but they all do the same thing. Exactly. So they all need to be investigated because it's not just about the murder. What they do is they persecute our youth. That's why our youth are so, that's one of the reasons why they're just tired. Because what they do is they collect money from them. See, this is all about money. That's why that officer, one of the things he just feels so comfortable about approaching these young black men because they think they own them. You know, this is Dred Scott. You don't have any rights as a black man. So, you know, he just, hey, he going to come
right.
up, shake him up. But then, he intended to do something bad, I wicked. And you know, and a lie, you know, just in this. You know, but I just wanted to say that, you know, the youth are very strong in that city, and they're tired because when I was there, I mean, they arrest them, they hold them captive, they make their parents and grandparents play ransom to get them out on these little trumped-up tickets, like walking in the street, you know, or having all these, you know, your car might not be inspected. And, I mean, the average young black male there is paying about $3,500 a year in traffic fines alone, you know, and so who has that money? And it's not just the young black males, it's the adults, it's the gatekeepers. Everybody goes to jail there. Lawyers, too. You know, they may miss their court date. Guess what? They're going to jail, too. And really nobody felt comfortable fighting that system because they knew, just like this ridiculousness, that's why they won't release the body or do anything because they don't feel like they have to answer to us. They're not used to that because it's a police city. I mean, you said dastardly crap, St. Louis. We're talking about Samuel Dompers. We're talking about McDonnell Douglas versus Green. We're talking about Pruitt Igo, where they had the first housing project, you
that's
know,
right.
where it was
experimentation. That's right.
You know, so, Monsanto's right there. You know, so it's really painful to see on top of all the oppression that our youth have been under. I mean, they have a newspaper there called The World that specializes weekly in just parading black people out like they're some kind of zoo animals. And they just, you know, have these titles about how they're just nasty and, you know, criminals. And you know, and everybody just runs to get it and read it to see what kind of crap, you know. And the police, they make excuses. Well, this is the way we get leads on people. That's on YouTube right now. This last thing I'm going to say, but there's a young brother on YouTube, it was actually on the local news where this young man recorded the police in St. Louis City carrying him around, having a conversation with him about finding some young men to plant guns on, or either they were going to arrest him. And he had it on tape, and that was the only reason why they gave him some credibility. He ran to the law because he was getting ready to get put back in jail because he couldn't find somebody to rep for these cops. So, you know, this is, the whole thing is corrupt. And that all of these practices, all of those municipalities, they just got Ferguson out there, but
all of them
are doing the same thing. And
well, I really
appreciate
that insight,
yes.
Mr. Pamela. Really appreciate that.
Yes,
all right,
ma'am.
Beloved.
Thank you, sister. Thank you for
yes, ma'am.
You know, I think that was
go ahead,
so great.
Dr. Ridley, and we got Brother Student Minister Robert Muhammad, the Southwest Massachusetts will be joining us momentarily. Go ahead, Dr. Ridgely.
Well, you know, right here in Little Brownwood, Georgia, ever since I've been here on this farm and getting young black men to work, all of them are in some form or manner hooked up in the correctional system. And they just, it's just back and forth, in jail, back out of jail, in jail, back out of jail. And like, they're just milking them. The parole officers are milking them. And so this is going on all over this country to our young black men and women. So I just wanted to bear witness to what Sister Pamela says is going on in St. Louis. This is going on right here in Brownwood, Dawson, Georgia, Terrell County, all Southwest Georgia. It's the same thing all over. They're milking our young people to death.
That's right.
That's exactly right. That is exactly right. This is outrageous. It has got to stop. But we've got, let's go to Brother Studminster Robert is holding. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
All praise be due to Allah. First of all, I want to thank Allah for being in the Nation of Islam.
Mm.
I don't want to be in the Boy Scouts, the Cub Scouts, the Campfire Girls, the Knights of Columbus. I'm glad I am a member of the Lost Found the Nation of Islam here in the West under the leadership of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Because the level of conversation, the level of analysis is so high and the frequency of the discussion is on such a level that you're right, sister, we have to be careful because we'll lose our people. This is like bean soup science theater going on up in here. And I, first of all, would like to apologize to Brother Ridgely, Dr. Ridgely, because I wanted to come during Founders Day to Georgia, and I couldn't make it. So I made that put that word out there publicly. I want to apologize publicly. But still in all, I still want to do what we discussed in coming there and creating a better process on our farm and to help you so that we could have bungalows and all the things that we need to do so that we can have year-round help on the farm. That still is in my heart to do. But
yes,
I want to say,
you're
welcome, brother, but I just want to say this. There's a reason why this is happening in St. Louis. Because the only St. Louis we should be talking about is St. Louis Farrakhan. That's the St. Louis we should be talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So the focus is on Louis, St. Louis. But that one's in Chicago. But this brother's blood, Michael Brown, Trayvon Martin, and all the others that have died is not in vain. This Joshua generation is absolutely fearless.
That's
There's a man named, his name is Falco. He wrote a book called The Rise of the Warrior Cop. The Rise of the Warrior Cop. And he talks about since even the 1960s, they began with the SWAT team, then the war on drugs, then it morphed into the war on terror. And what has happened is the Pentagon is giving Homeland Security is giving out these grants to all these police departments who don't have to fund these tanks and all these tactical weapons out of their local budget. They're giving grants out of the federal government out of that black hole called the Homeland Security budget that nobody knows. It's just so humongous. They're giving grants to municipalities to get the surplus military hardware from the Pentagon. So the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's justifiable homicide, black youth in peril, executive decision is all coming to pass. Everything that he told us from Stop the Killing, the Men's Only March, the Knees for Atonement on the Holy Day of Atonement, we are in the midst of a man whom God has touched. And God is guiding us by that man, by every breath that he takes is guidance in and of itself. And everything he told us, the time and what must be done, and I hope I nobody misunderstands what I'm saying, is more on time than when he delivered it. Part 19, part 20, part 21, part 22, and it's all about the synagogue of Satan and exposing Satan and this fake Israel. And lo and behold, they're over there slaughtering the people of God just as this plan. And now he's talking about the synagogue of Satan, and you and I are talking about the internal enemy, but he said in the synagogue of Satan, they're not just Jews. They're Gentiles. They're white.
Right.
They're Asians. They're Muslim. They're Arab. They're everything.
Right.
Now we're looking at this whole thing because what's going on over there in Iraq with ISIS, all of that is the result of 1914, World War One, the Balkans, the destruction and the dismantling of the Ottoman Empire, the imposition of the colonial powers on the so-called Middle East, which is a construct of the British Foreign Office, because it's the Far East in our lesson. So now here we are looking at Lebanon that was really created for the Arab Christians, Syria that's under the Alawite Shiites, even though it is a Sunni majority country, Iraq taken over by the Sunni minority, even though it's a Shiite majority, and Kuwait taken away from, which was the 19th province of Iraq, taken away from it. So that whole place is stitched together, and now it's falling apart. And now our Muslim world is in turmoil, and Allah has brought the light here to the West in the person of the Honorable Louis Farrakhan. And now, because of him and the reconciliation of Imam W.D. Muhammad, and that community are serving as the example of what Muslim reconciliation looks like without shedding each other's blood. We are
the light.
We need to stop looking for validation from white people, from Arabs, from anybody. Yeah. Allah has visited us in America, raised up the man that's the exalted Christ, put him above the very scientists that were around the throne, and now a man in our midst is being guided by the two most powerful beings in the universe. And we, if we would submit to him, as Sister Ava said, we are meant to. That's why there's so much strength, so much light, so much enucleation. I'll make up some words on this radio show of what God is doing through his servants and those of us who decide to be his disciples. Sister Ava, I love you. I pray a lot for you and your family all the time, and I pray that continue, Brother Terrence, Brother Ridgely, and all who are helping you, and even the sister that answered me on the phone to let you know I was on the phone. I thank you for Elevated Places. I thank Allah over and over again for being in the Nation of Islam.
I thank Allah
for him allowing me to be born in the time of the Honorable Louis Farrakhan. So my great-great-grandchildren will be talking to their friends in school, and they'll say, my great-great-grandfather was a student minister of the Honorable Louis Farrakhan. No, you're lying. No, I'll show you a bit. Look at this picture. That's the Honorable Louis Farrakhan. That's my great-great-grandfather standing beside me. I love
teach on that.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. I love you, and may Allah bless us to be successful. Inshallah, I'll see you when we go see St. Louis in Chicago. Inshallah.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Well, alaykum salam. We're winding down. I was trying to LinkedIn the show. I can't work this board here. But we got Minister James from the New Black Panther Party in St. Louis, and they're planning a march tomorrow. Brother James, are you on the line? You are live, Minister James. Minister James, are you there? Okay, we're gonna hopefully we can get back to Minister James before we go off the air. We've got Brother Lewis has been holding for quite a long time. He's a strong advocate of separation, to say the least. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Lewis.
Wa alaikum salam, family. How y'all doing?
We're doing as well as can be expected, thanks to Allah.
Yes, ma'am. I want to, you know, the scriptures teach that the wages of sin is death. And so the Honorable Elijah Muhammad also taught that integration is a sin. And so when we see our people killing each other out in the streets, I think that we should put that in a context rather than just blame them for killing each other, and we should understand that they can't stop the killing as long as they integrate. You can't mix.
Exactly.
You cannot mix urine and water and say that it's pure drinking water. It's contaminated. And you really can't mix these integrationist overcome Negroes who would hold a press conference to help homosexuals and promote homosexuality on the black community. President Obama all in Africa promoting homosexuality, but don't nobody have nothing to say about the black man except for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Now, what really needs to happen is all of these big, sick Negro leaders, they need to go to Minister Farrakhan and repent for leading us into integration before they come back out talking about how they're going to lead anything. And the truth be told, when Al Sharpton came to Louisiana with the Gen of Six, he put the fire out. Everywhere he goes, he puts the fire of revolution out. Everywhere he comes. So I don't know why we keep bringing these Negroes back up here to our people as if they're working things. They have betrayed the youth. That's the reason why there's so much anger. And really, to be honest about it, this integration stuff on the down low is starting to creep up into our house. We have to be separated even from these Uncle Tom Negroes in order to survive. And
yes,
so
sir.
We love you. And we thank
well,
you
thank
for
you.
Holding you from Lake.
Well, Lake and Salon. Well, the only solution is...
For us,
see, at this stage, as those of us who are with Minister Farrakhan, who claim we're with the minister, it's time for us to offer the people the clean glass, because the teaching is done. It can't get any clearer. It comes directly from the minister in real time. And so, and somehow we're getting an echo on the call. I think that's,
yeah, I'm not sure.
That's blog talk is doing that. Because I'm hearing, unless somebody's got a radio speakerphone on. Right.
Right.
But we have nothing else to do but our assignment, which is to be the example of what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the minister have given us. They've given
right.
the vision, the guidance. They've manifested the courage, the strength. Some little cluster of people, no matter how small, have to bite the bullet, whether like the Amish and the Mormons and the so-called pilgrims. You know, very few people went, you know, on those first sojourns.
That's right.
There's always a little small, tiny group of people. And so I don't know if we're waiting for a million people to make the move. But once they're able to see what we're talking about, everyone cannot capture the vision in their mind. They have to see it. And then we will bring an end to this. Brother Lewis is exactly right. It is integration's like the it's like Ebola. It's just all over the place. We're down to 7 minutes. We've got Dr. Salam. I know he's got something to give us. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Salam. You're live.
Well, alaikum salam. Dr. Ridgely, Dr. Ava, is Brother Terrence around?
Of course he is.
Of course.
Greetings, Flight Lieutenant.
Greetings.
You know, the Holy Quran says man is evidence of himself, and what a lot of the people are not seeing and not really realizing, and there's some believers that's reciting the words spiritual warfare, but they don't really have a clue what that's really all about. It just means separation in a more profound term. But Dr. Ridgely, I think, has summed up a topic that can last forever or until we do reach this point of separation. And he said that the enemy doesn't have to worry about retaliation. And he is so profoundly correct on that. There will be no real retaliation unless it comes from the NOI and a few others. But in understanding that, I think the enemy sees what we see, a new movement of hip-hop and a new movement of young brothers and sisters. They're saying the J Electronicas and all. They're not rhyming the message anymore. They're reasoning the message. And when you start reasoning the message, you come in alignment with what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is teaching, separation. And they see that movement, so they have to come in and try to destroy that movement. And that is exactly what is going on. But you mentioned St. Louis. That's been a second home for me. I was in Moss 28 there under Minister Donald when it was in the Sears building. And it's like when you came here to Memphis in 2009 and we took you to the radio station and we drove out Poplar Street and we went into an area called Germantown. You remember that, sister?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And you said, wow, what a difference. It looked like we had come from the jungle to civilization.
That's right.
Well, St. Louis is kind of like that in the city of St. Louis, but around it you got Chesterfield and Kirkland and Ferguson and Baldwin and Creveport and Clayton and Manchester. And it's what is going on there is going on in Detroit and Memphis and all around. We're going to be forced to push harder to our people to really understand the value of separation, and that is the only way it's going to be done. And one last thing, I did post under you on Twitter this organization called move.org, and it's really gaining some momentum. A believer sent it to me and I posted it on, and that's just what we got to do: unite in peace and harmony and leave the labels of religion out of it altogether. You're going to be a Muslim today, or you're going to die a sinner.
That's right. Thank you so much. Thank you, Dr. Salaam. Walaikum Salaam. Okay, we're down to 3 minutes, so make a quick point. Yes, sir.
Okay, Sister Ann.
Assalamu alaikum, Minister Ava, and guests.
Walaikum Salaam.
Yes, ma'am. I just wanted to make a couple of brief statements, and thank you so much. Well, you know, it's fine for us to be angry, but now we have to turn that anger into something valuable in trying to figure out how we can reach our young black men. And we know many of them, or most of them, are not in the church today. And as Dr. Ridgely said earlier, many of them have not heard the voice of Minister Farrakhan. So when I heard Brother Terrence talk about their plans now to set up meetings to teach about your rights and responsibilities when encountered with law enforcement, that to me was like deja vu. In 1982, while I was serving as president of the NAACP in my hometown of Macon, Earl Schulholster, at that time, was regional director of the southeast region of the NAACP. He's now deceased. We set up what was called a special desk to deal with police brutality. And what I would like to put forth is that after we hear the words from Minister Farrakhan on Sunday, we have to go to work. We have to set up forums in our various communities to bring our young black men together to talk to them about our need for separation and give them a vision separation, not just a lot of hype. But we have to have a vision for them. And that's what I'm very, very much wanting us to do nationwide. Don't just talk, but give them a vision.
I hear you loud and clear. Thank you, ma'am. We're down to 1 minute. Minister James, New Black Panther Party, are you on?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Okay,
yes,
we got 90 seconds.
I'm going
to
make this fast. Yes, ma'am.
Yes,
Assalamu alaikum, peace, hotel.
Walaikum salam.
Yes, ma'am, Sister Ava. And we also host the Morning Inspiration. Those who know what that is in the Father Prayer Line, you can join us. We'll talk about this tomorrow morning. We've called for a million man march on Ferguson, since everyone's called for a million father march and million this, million that. Well, let's call for a million man march on Ferguson on this Saturday to stand in solidarity and unity with our brothers. Not in a violent way, but to stand. And when they see a million black men standing, it's just what happened in 1995. I guarantee you we'll start to see justice. And I'm going to make that short. I know you're out of time, and I will come on again. May Allah continue to bless you.
Thank you, sir. Wa alaikum salam. Appreciate it. We're down to 30 seconds, so I just want to thank the entire Elevated Places team. And I'm sorry we didn't get to all the calls. We were trying to lengthen the program, but apparently they lock you down once the show starts and you can't lengthen it. And I had meant to do that earlier today. But make sure you're out for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, either here in Chicago or via webcast at NOI.org Sunday, August 17th. Assalamu alaikum.
Be sure to join us right here every Thursday at blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. If you have enjoyed our show today, please bookmark Elevated Places as one of your favorites. And remember, we are all preparing for a brand new world.